Steve Simon is Minnesota's 22nd Secretary of State. He was sworn into office in 2015. And I know I am grateful that he takes time to talk with folks in northern Minnesota from time to time. We are, as we speak today, Secretary Simon, we are 12 days away from the election. How are you holding up?
I'm just fine. And more importantly, I think the system is holding up really well under unusual conditions. Folks in the counties all over Minnesota and the cities, they're the folks who do the frontline work. They're the ones who count the votes. They're the ones who hire, train, and pay the election workers. They're doing great, and they're holding up really well under, frankly, a lot of strain. But as always, they're superstars.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to lots of issues concerning voting. There's some questions our listeners sent in. But first, I want to give you the chance to brag. How is Minnesota doing for mail-in voting, and what's your prediction for Election Day?
Mail-in voting, absentee voting, is absolutely off the charts. We just reported a few days ago that 1.4 million Minnesotans so far have asked to have their ballot sent to them at home. To put that number in perspective, in 2016, the last presidential election, for the entire election, it didn't even rise to 300,000 people. We're at 1.4 million. That tells me that Minnesotans are speaking loudly and clearly, probably because of COVID, but maybe other reasons as well. People are saying, I want to vote from home this year. By the way, over 900,000 of those 1.4 million have already been sent in and have been accepted. So that is tremendous. I mean, that is just record shattering. And that is a real story of this election, the pure number and percentage of people who are choosing that way of voting. Now, any way of voting that's legal is equally legitimate. So going to the polling place, absolutely just as worthy. Going in person absentee at a county or city office, just as worthy. But Minnesotans are saying that they like this option this year in great numbers.
Well, let's stick with that. About there, people have some questions about the ballots that they may have already sent in. I know I voted. I was able to go to mnvotes.org and see that my county courthouse got it and feel really confident about that. The only little weird thing for me was one of the envelopes didn't quite fit, so I had to kind of fold it in that kind of envelope process you do. I'm assuming that's going to be okay and not going to throw my ballot off or anything.
Absolutely right. In fact, there's a specific law on that point that says if you get the envelope thing wrong, that is not a reason to reject a ballot. It actually says that specific thing. So okay. Not a problem. It happens.
Okay. And then one of our listeners said that they have sent in their ballot. They used a Sharpie and it kind of bled through. Is that going to be an issue?
You know, it can be. It isn't necessarily an issue. We've got a lot of the Sharpie calls. If for some reason it is an issue, your county will call you. They have to call you under state law. They must. And give you the opportunity to cure, as they say. In other words, a do-over. If it somehow bleeds over into the backside and looks as if someone voted for someone else, they must give you a do-over, and they will.
Okay. We also had a listener who wanted to know when those absentee ballots will be counted.
So here's the interesting thing. This last Tuesday, which was the 14-day mark from the election, the two-week mark, that is the point in state law at which local folks in the counties and cities can start opening up those envelopes and feeding them into machines. So as we speak, if it's in, they are being counted right now. They're being processed. There's no running tally. So there's no saying, oh, candidate A is ahead so far or candidate B is ahead so far. The final adding up and tallying doesn't happen until after the polls close on election night, November 3rd. But they are being processed. They're being fed into the machines. The voters' choices are being recorded, just not all added together yet until the very end.
So let's move into voting on election day. I know we've talked before, but make us feel good about how safe it will be when it comes to COVID if we show up to vote.
Yeah, well, the good news is we had a really good dry run, a really good dress rehearsal, you might say, in the August primary, which was also a statewide election. Same 3,000 polling places as the general election, so it allowed us to see what works. And what worked really well and got really good reviews, we're going to do again. Namely, we're going to have in November, just like we did in August, all the PPE and supplies that folks need in the polling place. So you'll see in your polling place that all the elections workers will have high-grade, almost surgical-grade masks. There will be masks for all the voters who come in and want one and didn't bring one. There will be hand sanitizer and pumps and wipes and disinfectant and rules in place that we wrote with the Department of Health that will cover everything from social distancing to the automatic wipe down of the polling surface after the use by voters. So we feel really good. Both the election workers and voters told us from all over the state that they felt good. They felt safe. They felt it was a clean environment. Now, there's no guarantee of anything, of course, but we think in terms of safety, the system has worked really well and will work well in November.
We're talking with Minnesota's Secretary of State, Steve Simon. This is KEXE, KBXE. Last week, we had a chance to talk with Attorney General Keith Ellison, and we talked about voting and some of the things that his office is working on to make sure everything goes well on Election Day. And he said something pretty cool. He recommended that people make a holiday in their family out of the first time that someone gets to vote. He said, take a picture of your 18-year-old and put it on the wall and have a party. He remembered doing that for his daughter when she turned 18.
I love that idea. I think that's a great idea. Make it a big deal. You know, you look around at what the experts say about this. If you can get a young person to think about themselves as a voter even before they are a voter, then it's much more likely that they're going to vote that first time they're eligible, 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever. And if they do that, if they vote that first time, then it is super likely that they're going to make it a lifelong habit. So getting those good habits started early is great. If that means a party, if that means a big deal on an 18th birthday, hey, I'm all for it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we are hearing in national media, I would say, when it comes to voter intimidation and what may be at the polls. Should people be nervous about this?
You know, I'm really an optimist about that. And let me talk about a couple incidents. One that you may have talked about with the Attorney General, because he and I have been collaborating on this together. There was a report out of the Washington Post about a Tennessee ad agency, or employment agency rather, that had posted a job posting asking for ex-members of the military to come to Minnesota to help guard polling places. Law enforcement, state, and federal have looked into this. And as of the latest briefing that we got, they are no longer concerned that this particular episode from Tennessee will be a thing. It's not going to happen. It's not going to result in anyone coming to Minnesota to think they're guarding the polling place. But let me speak more broadly about what our law says. Our law is really clear. And one of the reasons we haven't had this issue in decade after decade after decade is the law is super clear. It says nobody who's not a voter or you know, supposed to be there otherwise, no one can come within 100 feet of the entrance of a polling place. You just can't do it. You may think you're helping law enforcement, but first of all, they don't want your help. Number two, you can't do it. You just can't. And that law is strictly enforced. It always is. And that applies to anyone doing anything political too. You can't have a banner or a bullhorn or anything within 100 feet of the polling place. So I feel, you know, law enforcement and others are on alert about this. They understand the rules. All of our election judges are trained on exactly this, on exactly what the rules are, who can be there, within how many feet. So I have to say, you can never say nothing bad might happen or there might not be a conflict, but we're in a position for a really good outcome here, which we've always had, which is peaceful polling places, free of disruption, free of a bunch of noise. That's the way voters want it, and that's what they deserve.
Let's talk about some of the misinformation that has been out there already, and I suspect will be happening before the actual election day. I know there was talk of ballot harvesting in the Twin Cities, and the only reason, and this has been proven untrue, but in candidate interviews that I have done as we get ready for elections, some of the candidates have talked about that as if it were a real thing. So I guess what I'm asking from you is, how do we, as just a citizen who wants to do right by voting, how do we discern what kind of information is floating out there?
Well, people shouldn't jump to conclusions. People make all sorts of allegations about things, and that's fine. That's why we have a court system. That's why we have law enforcement to investigate. So the particular thing you're talking about came from a video that surfaced in August, I think it was, or September, rather. And the video has been turned over to the police. The police are investigating it. That's who does law enforcement investigations. But so far, nothing has come from it. The Justice Department was asked to take a look at it, and so far, nothing has come from it. So you can draw your own conclusions about that. you know, we have a good system in Minnesota. A federal judge just recently issued a ruling unrelated to this, where she was going back and looking at all the statistics in Minnesota starting in 1979, so 41 years ago. And in this federal court case, she determined that since 1979, our rate of fraud in Minnesota was, get ready, 0.00004. That's 0.50 and a 4. That is a tiny number. Now, any number more than one is too many. We want it to be absolute zero. But let's just zoom out and put this in some perspective. Minnesota has a clean system, a system with integrity, a system that inspires a lot of confidence. And one of the reasons we know that it inspires confidence is we're always number one in voter turnout. If not always, then nearly always. The last two elections in a row, we've been number one in 2016 and 2018. And there are always room for improvements in any system. But I don't think Minnesotans of all parties and persuasions would show up to vote in such huge numbers if they thought the system was, you know, seriously flawed or riddled with fraud. They don't think that. They think and they know that it's a good system. It's very decentralized, by the way. Our office doesn't count a single vote. It all happens at townships and cities and counties across Minnesota. And that's the way it should be.
What are you hearing? I know you connect with people with similar roles across the country. Is the mail-in voting up other places too? Are people feeling confident about people getting involved this election?
Yeah, I think one of the stories, state by state by state, is just that huge mass of people who are choosing to vote this way. It looks a little different in other states, and I'm not, you know, so much of an expert on the other states, but I do talk to my colleagues. In fact, today is the day. Every Thursday afternoon, we have a standing phone call with all the secretaries of state, and we do more than that. That's not a standing call, but we have one absolute every week, no matter what, where we get on the phone, and that's coming up here. And so we trade notes and talk, and everyone, virtually everyone, is expressing the same thing. People are speaking loudly and clearly that they like the idea of voting from home, voting absentee this year. Now, I think the interesting question will be in 2022, when we all hope, you know, COVID is behind us, will people keep voting that way? Or will they say, no, I want to go back to voting the more traditional way at the polling place? That'll be a really interesting thing to witness. I'm not sure what to think, but we know we've gotten this huge surge.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about some news that we heard earlier this week federally about some election tampering from some other countries? How are you feeling about that in terms of Minnesota voters?
Yeah, so there was a report about some emails that were sent to various places across the country to voters with some threatening, intimidating language. The public reports are that those have been traced to Iran, which was trying to send these emails out to undermine confidence in the election system. I think the plot has been foiled, which is good. When you read the actual email, it's so, to me anyway, over the top that I hope most people would get this and, you know, not take it seriously. It says things about our system that most people who vote know not to be true. Like it's an email saying, we know how you're going to vote. Vote for candidate X, and we'll know if you don't. Nobody knows if you don't. We have a secret ballot in this country. It is absolutely untraceable, absolutely physically untraceable to know how someone voted. And that's always been the case. And to suggest otherwise, I think most people know that from the time they're in elementary school. So fortunately, it wasn't a executed plot. It was foiled. It was over the top. But it does remind us that we have adversaries that are trying to undermine the confidence in our system, and we got to be on watch for that.
Yeah, and there's some bad actors out there. I want to be optimistic, but just yesterday I got an email someone asking me to get a ventilator for them. Now, I knew that was not true. I have no tie to ventilators whatsoever. I just have a couple more questions. I know you're really busy. What about if I'm someone that has a disability on election day?
Yeah, well, excuse me. I mean, one of the good things about voting from home is it does give a lot of opportunities to folks who might have a disability. They don't have to go to a polling place. Then again, every voter is entitled to go to a polling place. They don't have to vote from home if they don't want to. And so we have a federal law on the books. This is from Washington, that every precinct in America, every polling place in America, has to have a voting machine in the precinct in the polling place that can accommodate voters with disabilities, so-called assistive voting technology. So whether it's a voter who's blind, a voter who's hard of hearing, a voter with other print-related disabilities, we have to have the equipment to help them, and we do. In all 3,000 of our polling places, we have that equipment. We also have a law on the books that allows the voter with a disability to choose someone of their choosing to help them. It can be a family member, it can be an aide. Now, helping doesn't mean voting for them. It doesn't mean substituting the helper's judgment for the voter's judgment and telling them how to vote. But in terms of physically filling out the ballot or understanding what's on the ballot, they can have a person of their choosing help them in the polling place, whether or not they use the special equipment.
Okay. And before we go, say I'm somebody who has never voted before, so I haven't registered. Is there still time?
Absolutely. Minnesota has what's called election day or same day voter registration. We're one of only 16 states that has that. So even if you've never, ever voted, you can walk right into your polling place on election day and you can register to vote. And the thing about voter registration, I want to take the mystery out of it. There's less there than meets the eye. It's not complicated. To register to vote, you've got to show two things. You are who you say you are, and you live where you say you live. That's it. And there's a long list of things you can use to show both of those. It doesn't have to be a current Minnesota driver's license showing your current address. It can be. That's a big one. But it doesn't have to be. It can be in a driver's license showing a different address to at least show the first part, that you are who you say you are. Or for the you live where you say you live, it can be a utility bill. You can go to our website, mnvotes.org. That's mnvotes.org. And you can see the long list of things that will qualify to show both of those things. You are who you say you are, and you live where you say you live. Lots of ways to show those things.
And one more thing, I was just remembering, in Minnesota, do our employers have to give us time to vote?
Yes, they do. In Minnesota, you have to be allowed time off to vote, period, if you're an employee.
All right. That's Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. The website he just mentioned, mnvotes.org, or if you have questions, you can call 1-877-600-VOTE. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, always. Thanks, Heidi.
Finally stop caring, just don't go and tell someone that does. Even though I know that